Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. Join us as we discuss everything paranormal with host Wayne Inman and co-hosts Richard the Grizz Haggard and Big Dave. Let's get started. Here's Wayne.
Welcome to Tappin, the Arkansas Paranormal Network. My phone is going off in the back. Hello. I am Wayne. Sorry about the phone ringing. And my co-host is Dave, the Big Dave.
Hello.
And
word.
Yeah. Now I'm going to jump off here. Still going to talk to you, but I got Richard just sent me a deal saying that you don't have an email from me from the did you find it?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations, man. Welcome to the show.
Well, if I had been given more advanced notice of it other than, hey, get in here, showtime, I'd have been here.
See, I got that email, a week and a half ago, something like that.
The thing about it, my Gmail, whenever I get emails from the same place close together, it'll group them together into one heading. And unless I scroll through all of the technical bull crap that they add with it, I don't see it. Because I had to sit here and scroll through, oh God, I'd say almost 2 pages worth of their technical legal disclaimer BS. But
sounds like a big pain in the ass.
I made it. That's all that matters.
Well, good to have you.
Welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Good to hear you're feeling better there, Dave.
Yeah.
We were
worried
about that.
COVID-19 sucks. Don't get it.
That's what everybody tells me, and you know what? I don't plan on getting it.
Yeah, I got another thing to say about this, too. Since I can't say it on my other radio shows, I'm going to say it here. If there's anyone listening, get your shot. I'll tell you why. It's not just because it's not some big conspiracy theory and you should just get them. It's also because there's other people like me who've had our shots and we got it because people like you didn't get them. All right, I'm done with my rant. Thank you.
Well, another bad thing about it, though, all of these most recent cases, I heard they said the other day that 30% of all of the new cases are people that have got all three shots.
Yeah, well, they're called breakthrough cases is what they are, and people that are getting the COVID-19, like myself, who have had our shots, are getting them from people who refuse to get their shots, and they get
them.
So, and because people who haven't gotten their shots have waited so long, now the stupid virus is mutated into this thing called Armicron, which sounds like some kind of stupid Disney film or something like that. You know, and it's becoming worse. I mean,
yeah.
Look. Just my opinion, if the government's not going to put something in your body that they can get sued for by the entire nation a few years later, you know, they're not going to take that chance. It's more likely that it's not going to work than it's going to do something. So.
Well, you know, the thing about it, when it all first started out, I was so dead set against getting the shots.
I know. A lot of people were.
But with everything that has happened to me health-wise the last couple of years and what have you, I got to thinking about it, and it's like, you know what? I'm at too much of a risk now to not get it.
You absolutely are. Let me tell you, man, the first night was the worst. And this stuff my thought was when it hits me, it's going to be, I'm going to feel it coming on or something like that. I went to bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, Sunday. Well, it was actually Monday morning, but it was Sunday night. Went to bed around 4 o'clock in the morning. I felt great. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was actually looking forward to taking care of a bunch of things Monday morning. I woke up about midway through my rest period. It was probably, 6-7 o'clock in the morning. I was having chills. I thought maybe it was just too cold in the house. Turn the heat up. Next thing I know, I'm starting to feel really strange. Next thing I know, I wake up in a cold sweat and I can't get myself out of bed because I'm so weak. And I realize something serious is wrong. And I was having a hard time breathing. And it was at that point that it dawned on me, COVID. I mean, I just knew it because of what people had said about it. And it hit me overnight. And it puts you in a fever that is so strong that you have a hard time getting yourself to wake up and getting yourself to get out of bed because you just have lost that much energy. And it's a little scary, but
Everybody I've talked to that has had it has said that they could go to bed feeling just fine, and then the next morning they wake up, they can't get out of bed, and the best way to describe it is kind of like. Or is to use an old phrase my daddy used to use, but I'll clean it up for the radio. He said feel like they got shot at and missed, spit at and hit, but in this case, they're not just spit at and hit, they're ran over by the whole daggum spit train.
Yeah. It's funny you say that because my first words when I called my boss, at the radio station, I said, Darren, I'm pretty sure I have COVID-19. He said, you sure? And I said, I feel like I've been hit by a bus. And that's pretty much what I felt. I just felt like I've given every ounce of energy I could possibly give and there's none left. And if I'm going to go to the hospital, they're going to have to take me there because I'm not going to be able to get up to go to the car. That's how it's bad. It makes you feel that way the first day. But interestingly enough, when you have the shots, like I have, the next day after the first one, it starts getting better almost immediately. And so by day 3, day 4, I was just kind of getting all the crap out of my system. And get my results that, in fact, I was positive COVID-19. By day 5, I was feeling good enough to be ready to go to work the next day, which I did. So the only thing I'm dealing with now is getting my taste and smell back. But I feel great on day 6. So that's good news for all those who have shots who get it.
Well, I know Taryn,
she's had her shots, my wife, and Taryn's had her shots. And she's been right here with me the whole time, and she hasn't contracted it. It's been over 6-7 days, which I say is the normal period of time, the average period of time that she should get it, but she hasn't. So looks like we're in the clear.
That's good to hear. Cause like I said, Gene has been worried about you.
Well, thank you.
And
I appreciate
everything.
That.
And I've been worried and hoping you'd get over it since we've got our stuff coming up here in a week.
Yeah, I wouldn't miss the world. Yeah. seriously, I mean, it's a big deal. It's very excited about it. All of us are. But But yeah, it's like I told Taryn this morning when I got up, I said, man, I feel great. I mean, I can breathe again, have all my energy back. I'm ready to go. Ready to go to work, you know? Move on.
Move on.
Yeah, moving on.
Yep.
So you're ready to go run up and down 6 to 8 flights of stairs?
If I got to, I'll do it. I'll still need a chair at the top of the stairs before I go back down,
well,
though.
It's not quite 68. No, it's quite 68 steps this time. It's more like 20.
Where are you talking about?
Oh, it's very close to.
Say what?
Very close to headquarters.
Oh, you getting ready to talk about someplace we're going or what?
Well, we're going to be starting. You know, we will start our. Ghost walks up in March, and I've got a building that we can go into other than ours.
Okay.
And
you ain't talking about what I think you're talking about, are you?
Well, it's right next door. Is that the one I'm talking about?
Oh, you talking about the place used to be a bordello, that one next door?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I've been wanting to be in. You got to tell me a lot of stories about that.
You're talking about the Bud, or the Bud building.
Yep.
Or Anheuser-Busch, not Budweiser. Wait, Budweiser is Anheuser-Busch, isn't it?
Yep.
Hey, you know what? If you want to listen to this, you can take one of these. Wake up. You can hear everything still.
No, I talked to the owner over there the other day, and he is... interested in it, and matter of fact, right before they put bed and breakfast over there upstairs, he's going to actually let us to put it on our tour route. So,
awesome.
That's kind of them. Yeah, because I was always wanted to be into that place because you guys have told me about it, and I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one.
Yeah. Me and Richard was up there with Channel 4029 one morning, early morning, doing a show with them for their whole morning show because they were doing a special for us because we were doing it on Halloween night.
Yeah, that was funny.
I'm just going to give my wife one of my earbuds so she can listen in on the show.
Oh, that was funny because the guy they had up there, he asked one time, he says, what do y'all expect to find up here tonight? And I told him, I said, that's the thing about it. We never go in expecting anything.
Yeah,
if you do, you're not going to find a thing. And he says, well, if you do, what are some of the things that you could look to have happen? And we were sitting there telling him about different noises and stuff like that. And then a couple minutes later, we're off the air, and we're standing there talking up in the front room. And all of a sudden, there's a loud bang from the back of the building, sounded like somebody slammed a door shut. And we were the only ones in the building. It was just me, Rod, the reporter, and the camera guy. And when that door slam sound came through, the camera guy and that reporter both jumped like they were shot, and they were ready to get out of there then. It was funny.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good experience because he was also... Remember the stairs, Richard, when he was coming up the stairs or standing on top of the stairs?
So you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we hear you fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure. So I know we were talking.
In a way, I kind of felt sorry for that old boy. But, hey, he wanted to know. He wanted to find out some stuff. Right?
Yeah. That morning, he found out a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I know so yesterday when you weren't here, we were talking about Bigfoot stuff, which I know nothing about. So I'm actually looking forward to tonight's show. We're actually going to be talking about haunted places in Arkansas, Texas, and Oklahoma, correct?
Yes. And
so I've got some places in Oklahoma. Plus, on top of that, we're going to be talking about what happened at the headquarters, which is pretty much right next door to where Wayne is at right now, a few weeks back, that involved cell phones and messages. We left it at this. It was absolutely unbelievable. And to me, as a skeptic, it's still unbelievable. And there's a part of me that still wishes I could find some natural answer, but I have to accept the fact that there isn't one.
Well, you know, the thing about it, talking about that stuff, I'm sure I can speak for Rod on this, or Wayne on this one, but us, even having the experience that we've got, we're still at a loss for words for that. You know, I mean...
Well, I've heard about things like this happening, but I never have experienced it actually happening. And I'm sure at this point, anybody who's been listening to yesterday's show and listening at this point, it's like, okay, let's get to it. What is it that happened? So, I mean, should we just go ahead and dive into that first before we go into other places? Let me start out with the way this story started, and then I'm going to hand it over to Richard and let him take it from there. Okay.
Real quick, before you start out, there's one thing I would like to say real quick.
Okay. And Terry's going to try to find that audio, too.
I got the message about the special birthday surprise last night.
Oh, yeah?
That was on the show. I want to thank Wayne, Dave, and everybody from our group for all of the birthday wishes. I want to thank all of the listeners for any birthday wishes they may have thrown up. And I really want to thank White Collar Sideshow. When I got that, that made my day. I loved it. But I just want to thank everybody for the birthday wishes and hope everybody has a great year.
Yeah, it was... I was wanting to give it to you last night, so on the air, but since I didn't give it to you on the air last night, guess what?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Richard. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, buddy. Hope
Happy
it's great.
Birthday, man. Happy birthday.
From White Collar Sideshow, by the way. Cheers, buddy.
So I delivered it on the
air.
Are
you in tears or something?
Do what, Dave?
Are you in tears or something? We lost you there for a second. You didn't say anything.
No, I was just sitting there listening. See, I tell you what, I've listened to that thing about a half a dozen times today. I've played it for other friends. I said, hey, man, guess what? And I'll play it, and they're like, who was that? And I tell them, they're like, oh, that's so cool. You're lucky. But I tell you, I can't wait for you to be able to meet them, Dave. They are some of the coolest and the most real people you'll ever meet. I mean, they are just awesome, awesome folks.
Well, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're probably right up my alley, too, considering I've been an entertainer most of my life and hung around nothing but entertainers for most of my life. They're probably just like me.
Yeah.
We'll probably get along like peas in a pod.
Oh, I tell you what, you'll love them.
Well, I'm talking to Taryn right now, just so you know. When you find those, try to find from the beginning all the way down to maybe where that audio part is.
Yeah.
That way we can tell the story with as much factual relevancy as possible. Taryn's on our on the messaging system that we were all on at the time that this occurred a few weeks ago, the incident about the paranormal activity there at the airport. So she is trying to get to
research,
the very beginning part of it, so that we can review that. And then when we get to the part with the audio, which you know about, then we can also try to pick that up to one of these microphones, or somebody can stick it up to the microphone so that the rest of the people who's listening can hear it. It's not going to sound great, but at least I get an idea, right?
Right.
Do you have that, Richard, do you have that audio with you? And do you have a microphone to put it up to if we listen to it before we get to the
I believe I do still have it.
Don't ask me if I have it, because it disappeared off my phone. Remember that.
Let me look.
It disappeared off several people's stuff, which is another part of the paranormal question. I don't know. Because it disappeared off a lot of people's stuff.
Yeah, I don't even have, we'll get to how it about, but the other stuff, all of it's gone. I have no clue, no reference of it or anything on my phone.
Well...
Okay. Well, while you're looking for that, let me go and get this story started. So Wayne and I were sitting in his office next door to his, and we were reviewing some EVPs from a previous investigation that we had done. And as him and I are sitting there talking, Taryn is also there, and she's my wife, by the way. Taryn is her name. And she's sitting down playing on her phone, and doing what she normally does, plays her little games while me and Wayne take care of other things. And all of a sudden, all of our phones go bing, bing, bing. And we're like, okay, well, we know that somebody in our group chat saying something, right? So I went ahead and decided I was going to go ahead and check my phone while me and him are sitting there, while Wayne and I are sitting there. And I realized that it was somebody from our chat room with a message saying that, are you on? And it came from Wayne, which is sitting right in front of me and not on his phone. And we're listening to EVPs on a whole different program on his computer as well. So I know he's not online on his computer. I know that he's not on his phone because I'm sitting right there in front of him. And so... What was that I just heard?
Wouldn't me.
You might have heard me. I've had to look through my different sources where I've got that because I can't pull it up on the computer because the audio won't do it.
Taryn was able to find the conversation. So at around 4:40, like I said, me and Wayne are sitting there and we all get a ding. And it's from Wayne that says, are you on? But yet Wayne didn't send it, obviously. We're sitting right there together, and he didn't send anything right from me. So I looked at Wayne, and I said, when did you send that? Because we're just now all now getting it. And he goes, what are you talking about? Excuse me. And I showed him. I said, look at your phone. You just sent something that says, are you on? And he goes, well, I didn't send it. I said, okay. And so we sat there for a minute just thinking about it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. Why are we just letting that go? I said, should I say something? And so he goes, well, you might as well. So I put question marks right after it. And then Richard was like confused too. He was sitting at home wondering what in the world did Wayne mean by that. And so Richard chimed in on the group chat, is who on what?
Oh, and
then I chimed in and said, said, we were both sitting here talking, and that message came across, and Wayne didn't send it. And then at that point, somebody put in ghosts in the chat, and then I put weird, huh? Richard said weird. And then I said, okay, let's try this. Yes, I'm on. What do you need? You know, basically saying to the ghost, hey, yeah, we're fine. If this is a ghost, just in case, we're here. What do you want? Richard said, I'm here too. And then we got, so then at that point, Wayne puts, I go ahead and I'm sitting there talking to Wayne, and Wayne is about to do something he said to me just now, so stand by. So he was going to, I can't remember what it was that you did. What did you say you were going to do? Oh, he was, no. That's right. At that point, Wayne was opening up another chat room because we thought he'd been hacked. And so we wanted everybody out of that chat room just in case it was a hacker. So we went ahead, he was starting that up. He got a hold of the thing going, and then we get another message from Wayne, from his cell phone, which, granted, he's not even on the chat at all. He's on a different thing doing something completely different. And from Wayne's phone comes Hello Hip Hop. And for anybody who's listening, the relevance to that is it's a nickname that a particular ghost in the particular headquarters has given me to make fun of my size, because I'm a fat guy. It likes to laugh at me a lot, you know. And so I put very funny, and then we get another one from Wayne's phone that says, where's Wayne? Okay. And then all of a sudden it starts using profanities in the form of, you know, hashtag blah, 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 like it's saying one big cuss word. And then it comes back, saying, no Grizz. And Grizz is also important because the only people who know about Richard having his name, his nickname is Grizz, is either someone who listens to this show or someone who's close to Richard in our group. All right, so that makes no sense. Then it says, please, at one point. And Richard said, want me to come back?
Well, I had asked, it said, who is this? And there should be
right.
a response on there where it says, you know, you left. And I said, well, I had to come home. I said, do you
yes.
want me to come back?
And it said, please.
Well, I think that
please,
right?
Yeah. Please, PLEESSSS is the way it put it. And then Richard said, give me a few minutes to get dressed and I'll be back. And then the ghost using, at least we're assuming it was a spirit, using Wayne's phone, replied with FKFKGG. And then another one came in with HGGGRRDUTRVJHG, blah, 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 just a bunch of gibberish all of a sudden. And then Richard replied, I'm in the truck heading that way, be there in about 10 minutes. And I believe that was the last we heard. See, that was at, that was the last we heard until that evening. It was after 6:30 at that point where we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 zeros, 3 thumbs up. And then, of course, at that point, Richard was already at headquarters and Wayne was with us. Taryn and I were in the back of headquarters trying to get the EVP information. And that's when Wayne noticed that Richard had a voicemail. And the interesting thing about the voicemail is that it came from the landline phone in Wayne's house next to headquarters, which Wayne did not make a phone call. And if I understand correctly, you don't even have a phone in there, right?
It's a shop phone. It's our business phone.
Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of hard to hack a business phone.
And his wife wasn't there. She was out at their house doing laundry.
Right. So there's nobody who's used the phone, but yet the phone is being used to now call Richard's phone and leave a voicemail. So Wayne handed the phone to Richard and said, "You got a voicemail," and the voicemail was the audio that we're about to try to play.
They called Wayne's phone.
Yeah, they called my phone
and left it.
Oh, okay. They left. See, I got that wrong. So they called your phone, your shop phone, and left.
The shop phone called my phone.
And if you'll remember, you and I were in the coffin room.
Right.
And we were sitting there trying to figure out what this light was we kept seeing. And then Wayne came over and says, hey, I need y'all to come out here. And we were like, we'll be out in just a few minutes. He's like, no, I've got something I need you to hear. I need you to come out here. Richard, I've got a voicemail for you. And that's when we're like, huh, what? But let me see if I can play it. But this is the voicemail.
Isn't that weird? I mean, it sounds like a joke. I mean, seriously, from a skeptic's point of view, it sounds like the biggest full of bullshit. Sounds like everybody's crazy. I mean, seriously, that's what it sounds like to me. I was like, wait, hold on a minute. Hold on. Now this is all getting way too weird. Play it again. Yes, that's just.
Now, you know.
So, I mean, we were left with this. Either this is an elaborate hacking and a joke being played on us by somebody who obviously is very good at covering their tracks and making it appear as if it's something paranormal and who has to know us. I mean, know us well individually.
Right.
So that means that we're either A, being duped by someone who is not only smart and when it comes to electronics and knowing how to hack people, but also has to be very close to us and know things about us that no other people do. Or we're left to believe that this is paranormal and that what we just heard was a voice of a spirit or ghost leaving a message on a voicemail, and he was able to manipulate our phones to leave us messages on our cell phones.
Yeah.
I know, it just leaves you scratching your head. I mean.
Well, I've taken and I've run it through an audio program, and, you know, at first, we had a lot of people that were saying to them, it sounded like somebody saying, "Hey, Richard, how dare you?"
You can almost sound like something like that, kind of, yeah.
But as I went through and cleared it up and tried to bring out more, I get, "Hey, Richard, I'll have to out for you." So it's almost like somebody was saying that, or was answering me on something I may have asked, saying, "Hey, I'll have to find out for you, or I'll have to ask him for you, is what I got out of it. Now, another interesting thing about it, later that night, now Wayne, correct me if I get wrong on any of this.
All right.
Later that night, when he went out to pick his wife up and bring her back into town, he was going to play it for her. Now, he did not delete the voicemail. But when he got out there to play it for her, the voicemail was gone. Luckily, I had thought to make a recording of it. But
and we all know that in itself is something that is common when it comes to these so-called paranormal instances, when it comes to voicemails or messages or even EVPs that come up missing on a digital recorder or even on CCTV or DVRs, things that will just all of a sudden disappear, you know, 20, 30 minutes, even longer sometimes, of just empty space where there should be video. It seems to be a common denominator in paranormal community that these things happen when it is, in fact, paranormal. So,
right.
There you go. With that being said.
Well, the thing about it, luckily, since I had the recording, he got a hold of me and asked me if I could send it to him. So I did, and he played it for his wife. And if I'm not mistaken, you said her response was, "Oh, yeah, I've heard that voice before."
Oh, my right. gosh.
And she told him that was a guy that she's heard several times in the shop, and he's not a bad spirit or anything like that. Whenever she's there by herself and there's a lot of people around, and she starts having or kind of getting her little panic attacks because she's not a crowd person. And she said, or she told him that he sits there and he tells her, "Don't worry, you're safe, I'll protect you." And that he lives back in the back of the building in the meat locker.
Right.
Now, a little bit of background on the building. Way back in the day, it used to be a grocery store.
Right.
And we have found out that what is now being used as a garage / storage area was at one time the meat locker for the grocery store. And something else I found out, I don't think I have let you guys know yet, but I found out that I can't remember, I don't think it was the owner, but I think it was like a manager or one of the main workers at the store was a very, very heavy smoker. And
now, you mean like he smoked a lot or he was a fat guy that smoked?
He smoked a lot.
I'm waiting for one of you guys.
He had developed throat cancer. And he had that real rough voice like this. About like what the recording sounds like, because I've played that for a couple other people I know over in Van Buren, and they said that sounds just like the guy that their grandparents used to talk about. And he had
maybe he had one of those little things, like a trachy thing, a voice box.
Well, back then, or at the time that this he had this, they didn't have that.
He would have just been doing everything he could.
So he would have been sitting there talking like this, sounding almost like Wolfman Jack.
Interesting thought.
Man,
interesting theory.
But one of them had taken the, or had me play it, or one of the people I talked to had me play it for their grandparent or for their grandmother, who was a little kid back then. And when I played it, she said that sounded just like this guy. And she said she knows he did a lot of work with the meat, like butcher counter. Can't remember if that was the only thing he did or if he had, it was something else in the store.
Well, I mean, looking at the evidence from a skeptic's point of view, I'm speaking for all the skeptics who may be listening right now. I'm you. Okay, so speaking from a skeptic's point of view, there's two things here that I've had to look at in my mind, that I had to go through in my mind to try to debunk this and see some sort of natural explanation. And I've also had to keep an open mind to the fact that it could have been paranormal as well. So here's my thought process. My thought process, first of all, is from a natural explanation. It was some hacker that apparently I know, that apparently is amongst our close-knit family of investigators, who knows us so well that they had to have been at the headquarters at a certain date because of the hip-hop comment, the hippo-hop comment. They had to have been there that night, and they had to have not only been there that night and been so close to us to know that that ghost or that spirit made that comment about me, but they also have to have been smart enough to be able to go in and hack a system, to get through everything, get through all the passwords, everything else like that, and be able to go in and manipulate an actual landline phone in order to do all of this as well. Knowing, mind you, that it would be such a big deal because Wayne was being entertained by two or three different people at the same time, so we all knew and witnessed the fact that he had nothing to do with us.
Well, another thing.
So they had to have been watching us during the period that this was happening as well. So I have to either believe that that's the case. Well, let me go ahead and finish. I have to believe that that is the case. Scares me, because if it is, that means we've got somebody who's a poser within our ranks, who is making stuff up, which I and Wayne and yourself, being passionate, always wanting to find the real answers kind of paranormal investigators, are appalled by. So I'm hoping that that leads to my reasoning, which is hopefully it's not that. Instead, it's paranormal. So let's talk about paranormal from a skeptic's point of view. Paranormally speaking, this is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah.
It proves the point that a spirit can manipulate our devices now. It's become so not only intelligent, but so accustomed to the ways of the future from when they were alive, that they now figured out how to manipulate these things so that they can communicate with us using our own modern day devices because they've learned how to manipulate. And at the same time, be intelligent about the way they handle it so that they knew that it was, so that we would know that it had to have been a spirit residing in headquarters. I just think that's absolutely amazing. All of it.
Well, see,
all of it is amazing.
You made the comment that the thought of it could, or it being somebody that you know that had it. because of the Hippo Hop comment. Well, here's another.
Right, because it only happened one night. Well, there was only a few people there that night.
See, here's another thing, too, you got to stop and think about. The Grizz. Nobody.
Right. But now, have we ever used that on the show?
Ever.
And we're, like the show that we're doing right now, I mean, now it's we use the Grizz all the time as a show opener. And had before that, have we ever, when that shit happened, did you guys ever use your nickname on as the Grizz on the show? Because
well, see, since I've been on the show with Rod, we've used the Grizz.
Well, see, that leads to a skeptic's point of view that there possibly could be somebody who listens to the show who may have been a hacker.
Well,
so that can be ruled out.
True.
Whereas mine, the Hippo Hop, it couldn't be ruled out because nobody knew about that except for the small group of people that were there that night.
Well, see, here's what I'm getting at. When we're face-to-face, nobody except for one person has ever called me Grizz in person. And that person doesn't have anything to do with the show. She may listen to it once in a while, but as far as having anything to do with the show, she doesn't. Matter of fact, she hasn't been able to participate with the group for quite a while because of family things going on. But
let me ask you this from a skeptic's point of view. Let me stop you there and ask you this because the question came into my mind. Was that person who you're talking about there that night that the Hippo Hop message came across in that small group that was there with us, was that person there?
No,
and I'm going to say something else,
then
and I don't mean this in a negative way, but she does not have the smarts or the knowledge to be able to do something that or this elaborate. Because as she's told me before, she's lucky just to be able to turn her cell phone on.
Okay.
But, I mean, so, I love her to death. She's cool. But
well, with all that being said, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, folks. That's why it left me, which everybody knows I'm the hardcore skeptic of the group. It leaves me scratching my head and having no other alternative but to honestly say I believe it had to have been paranormal based on the evidence that I have in front of me at this point, which to me is impressive because I don't usually say that out loud. And you guys know that.
Yeah, so. And I've got to say that's amazing to hear someone as skeptical as you are actually say that. Because I've run into people that I would say are as skeptical as you are, if not more so, to the point they will keep coming up with all of these theories, and you can sit there and knock or legitimately knock every theory they throw out down.
Based on the evidence that was given to us, yes.
Yep, based on evidence. And they still won't budge even a millimeter and say there is a slim possibility.
Well, you know, I've had an opportunity to investigate quite a few places, and I was telling Wayne this last night on the show that headquarters to me is one of the most impressive places I have ever investigated to this point. Granted, there's a lot of places I have yet to go and experience, and I have a lot more experience to gain. But at this point, it's been one of the most impressive places. I mean, it's not just that instant, which is extraordinary in itself. But there's other things that we've caught with groups of people watching and seeing it and experiencing it and witnessing it, like the mist that we saw over the camera back in the coffin room. There's no explanation or answer for that. It came right up to the camera and dissipated. And well, right afterwards, we went into the room to check and see if there was any mist flying around in there, any fog, anything that could have been in the weather related for it to happen. But it's a closed in room, no windows. I mean, it's just that. And it's just
There have also been several times when we've had our tours and we go to do the little investigation after the tour. Now, just so people out there listening know, the people that come in and go on the tours and then stay investigation, we know absolutely nothing about them, nothing about their families or anything. The only we know is they came in, they paid for their tickets, they signed signed the release forms that we have to have, releasing us from any liabilities in case they twist their ankle or whatever while walking up and down the sidewalks.
Or get possessed.
Right. But while we are in there in the investigation, we will get names coming across either Portal Plus or Necrophonic or even we don't really EVP, like
EVPs are a big deal there at the headquarters. I've got 5 or 6 different EVPs just right here on my phone right now. I've got one with absolute 100% vocal tone that says clearly yes after I ask a pointed question, an intelligent answer. I said, I can feel somebody around me right now. I know something's around me right now. And right afterwards, you hear a Class A, in my opinion. I know Wayne doesn't believe in classes, but for those who do, total vocal tone, completely easy to understand. I hear a yes in a male's voice. And that's just one of the tons of EVPs that we've caught in that place.
Well, I wish I had a recorder this night, but the night we had the investigation down south, for love nor money, I can't think of where it was at.
Down south.
Yeah, the one the night that Marquez's house caught fire.
The Queen.
The Queen.
Yes.
Had an investigation in the Queen, Arkansas. And for the listeners, the Queen, Arkansas is about 3 hours away from where we're based out of. We had drove all the way down there. Just as we got down there, one of our team members got a call that his house was on fire. So me and another team member, we took him and his niece, booked them back up here to get them home. After we made sure they were okay and what have you, he and I went back down to HQ, and we hung out there until the team finished the investigation into Queen and came back, which I had to because my wife stayed down there with them. But he and I were sitting there just talking, and he asked me about some of the stuff that goes on there because, unfortunately, he hasn't been able to be in on a investigation there yet.
Really? I didn't know that.
And I said, you know what? I'll show you some of what goes on. So I went back. I turned our Bluetooth receiver on, connected my phone up, and I started running Necrophonic.
Now, just for a moment, just for those who may be listening, two things. Hold your thought. Do not lose your phone. Two things for those who may be listening. Number one, our headquarters is located in downtown, historic downtown Van Buren, Arkansas. Number two, that's important to know, Necrophonic app is one of the apps that you pay for and has been proven to be very helpful in paranormal investigations for many paranormal investigating groups. Check it out for yourself. Go ahead.
But I had started it up, and we're sitting there, we're listening, and I introduced myself as I always do, and then I introduced Keith and told him that this was really the first time he was able to, or being able to do any kind of an investigation down there. and he would like to talk to him. Well, for about 15 minutes, there wasn't a thing.
Just a bunch of backwards mumbo-jumbo.
No, there wasn't even that. I mean, it was
quiet. Wow, that's unusual for the for it to be quiet.
Right. It was dead silent.
How weird.
And we're sitting there, we're talking. We were talking about going shooting. And we hadn't said a word while we were there about what had happened with Marquez and his niece, Faith. All of a sudden, across Necrophonic, we heard Faith. We looked at each other. I looked at Keith. I said, did that just say what I think it said? He said, yeah, it said Faith. Couple minutes later, it said her name again. And we're sitting there looking at each other. So I was like, okay, what about Faith? And then clear as a bell, I got her. We got the response, Faith sad. Okay, why is Faith sad? A little bit of time passed, and I got the response, house. Okay, what about the house has Faith sad?
You asked that question?
Yes. And it came across immediately after I asked that. House burned down.
Fascinating. Very compelling.
So, I mean, and the thing about it, we were sitting there, man, wish we had a recorder, because Keith had left his down there, and I don't have one right now. The ones I had are so old and outdated, they don't work anymore. I've got to get them updated. And we even looked around the shop trying to find a recorder that might have got left behind. And we looked all over that shop. Couldn't find one. Then about 20 minutes before you guys got back, we're sitting there, and Keith looks on the table right there in the front. He says, well, I'll be dogged. I was like, what? He says, look right there. There was a dadgum recorder laying right there on the table that was not there when we were first looking.
There's definitely something going on that is paranormal, and it's the very definition of paranormal, which basically just means above normal. And there's definitely something above normal going on at the headquarters there, which is very impressive. Of course, it shouldn't be much of an impression to me at all, considering the area that our headquarters is located in downtown Banbury. Most every single building in that entire historical downtown Van Buren, Arkansas area has some sort of reported paranormal activity that's gone on in it. A lot of history in that town.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a town that was big before Fort Smith was big, you know. And I was talking to Wayne about this yesterday, I think after the show. I said, have you noticed that when we talk about, when we get a lot of paranormal activity the last few times we've investigated it, have you noticed that it's usually been after I've asked the question to whoever may be there, whatever spirits may be there, if they could invite other spirits that they know that may be around us in other buildings to come forward and communicate with us also. And it seems as if every time I do that, we tend to get more paranormal activity or a boost of it for a little while anyway. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
So which leads to believe that maybe they can actually communicate with each other.
Yeah, well, see, we've got to stop and think, too. Van Buren, Arkansas, the Van Buren, Fort Smith, Arkansas area was a pretty big area for this part of the country during the Civil War. We've had quite a few little battles, little skirmishes and stuff go on around here. some of the biggest battles in this part of the state happened today. It's about 30 minutes to about an hour and a half, because I think Prairie Grove is like 30, 45 minutes away. Pea Ridge is probably another 30 minutes or so past that. You know, so we've got all of the Civil War stuff that happened around here. We are right on the edge of Indian territory. There's still a marker over here in Fort Smith that denotes the line between Indian territory and what they knew back then as civilized territory. You know, so
funny
we
how
had
crazy put that in there. So funny.
There's been all kinds of outlaws around here. I mean, Bellstar, Jesse James, you know, all kinds of Old West outlaws used to call this area home.
Yeah, plus, a lot of history that where the outlaws were used to hide in part of the country, too. I mean, just not too far from where I live, Dakota. What's the name of that place? Something... Cave, Bell's Cave or something like that. What is that called?
Robber's Cave.
Robber's Cave. You think I'd be able to figure that out?
Yeah, if you ever get the chance to go down there, you got to go. Beautiful area.
It
but,
is beautiful.
You know, there was also all kinds of crime activity going on. I mean, this used to be a pretty good area for brothels and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, what is it? I think Wayne was telling me not too long ago that like almost three to six buildings in downtown Van Buren were brothels at one point, and some of them at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, put it this way, like every building that has an upstairs had a brothel in it. Now, how many buildings downtown has an upstairs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's like at least 10, 15 buildings.
I'll put it this way: if you was looking for it back then and you couldn't find it, you weren't looking very good.
Must have been some homely looking women or something. You couldn't find it.
You know, downtown Van Buren has had so much of a wild and crazy past. It's no surprise that there's the activity down there that there is. I mean, there's even a building down there that at one time belonged to the Freemasons and the Knights of Pythias.
Which we all know, almost every single Freemason building, for some reason, and I think it has to do with whatever rituals they do, seems to have some paranormal activity.
Well, in that building, Rod and I were upstairs on the third floor, which was basically the temple room. I mean, just one great big giant room. We had been told that someone up there liked to knock stuff over. I found a piece of 2x4 about 2 foot long, stood it up on end out in the middle of the room, and I was like, you like to knock stuff over? There. Hit that. Knock that over. Well, Wayne and I were up there for quite a while. Nothing happened. He went to walk out near it. I'm up there looking out the front windows down the street because I'd heard a noise out there. And all of a sudden, I hear Wayne go, oof. And he had a ball cap on that had two green LED lights in it. And I saw the light flash off of the window. I turn around and look, he's standing there with a dumbfounded look on his face, and he's looking at me like I had done something. And his hat's about 6 foot out in front of him on the floor, and I'm like, what was that? He said, you didn't do that? I said, do what? He said, something just knocked my hat off my head. And I'm like, no, it wasn't me. I'm standing back here by the window, you know. A little while later, and I'll give you a little bit of an idea on the room. The front of the building has a bunch of big windows on it, and there was like a little stage area right there. But then at the back side of that room, you got two doors, one on it, or what am I trying to say? You just got two doors. And in between the doors, there was another little stage that looked like it was just about the right size for a big chair, like a throne or something like that, which, you know, the Freemasons, they used thrones. Oh, well, I went back there, and I'm standing on that little stage with my back against the wall. The next thing I knew, I'm standing downstairs outside, leaned up against the front of my truck, staring up at the sky with the rain falling in my face. About 45 minutes of time had elapsed. Now, going from the top floor to ground level, you've got one heck of a staircase. How many steps is that, Rod?
68 steps from the top to the bottom.
You go up that staircase or down that staircase, you know you've done it. At the second floor, there's a little landing and a doorway that goes into the second floor. And we got down to the, or they got me down to that floor, and they said, I stopped, and I literally grabbed Wayne by the shoulders, picked him up, and shoved him into that doorway, into another team member that was coming out to see what was going on, to the point caused her to stumble backwards, and then set him down and said, you stay here, keep the bad people away. And then everybody else proceeded to escort me out the building. Now, to the best of what we can figure, there was the spirit of a little girl that was being, or that was trapped in there and being, for lack of a better term, held captive by another spirit in there. And she saw me as a way to get out. And so she used me to get out of the building. But
that was
just one of the craziest experiences we've had down there. And
did you pick that? Was that coming to your mind? Did someone tell you that? Was that how did you come up with that assumption of this?
Okay, can you try saying that again? You're breaking up on us.
Really cutting up.
Okay, try one more time. Can you hear me any better now?
Yes.
A little.
Can I move my phone just to hear? Question was, how do you know that that's what the case was? Tell you that at the time, what the hearsay from somebody who's just trying to get
in. How you got
okay. Okay, from what I can pick up, you're asking, how do we know that's the case? Did we hear from hearsay or whatever?
Or did
okay. We've done our research into the Freemasons and the Knights of Pythias. And as much as some people would like to say they are squeaky clean, they are far from squeaky clean. Unfortunately, we don't have any video from that, but we did have audio recorders going, and when we had got some other team members up there to help him get me down, they started hollering, well, turn the recorders off, turn the recorders off, and Wayne sat there and says, no, keep them going. So we've got the audio of the whole,
I don't think you know what you're saying.
Our whole thing.
Right. No, I'm not asking audio evidence. I'm asking, you said that you believe that it was a female that was being held against her will, that she was using you to get out. Now, how did you come up with that story? Was that something that you were feeling in your mind after all this happened, or was
it's because of some of the things that were said during that time. That's what I was getting at. We've got the audio of it, and during that,
let's see.
You're gonna have to move somewhere because you're really choppy. I mean, really bad choppy.
Tell you what. Oh, you're
right now, we're just going up. Yeah, that's it.
All right. I'll call you right back.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Oh, wait. I think I understand what he's asking. Is there some kind of information that we know of that our theory is based on? Is it just something that I felt?
More or less what you felt, because I can assume now. I don't know. Well, that's what I can tell you. Gets back. See.
I tell you what. If
there you go. Are you better?
You better now?
No.
No.
You got to say more than just a couple words. That way we can find out.
All right. Can you hear me a little better now?
No.
No.
Can't.
A little bit, but not really. Heck, we're hearing her better than we hear you.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You sound like you're way
off.
Sound like she's right up against us.
Do you want me to...
Well, the ghosts are coming out in the machines again.
Yeah.
All right, I'm changing earbuds. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We just switched out earbuds.
Okay. I think what you were trying to ask was, how did we come to that conclusion? Was it something that we have information leading to it? Was it something I felt? Stuff like that. Was that what you were asking?
Yes. Basically what I was asking was, how did you come up with that story? Was it the deduction based on what evidence you had during the event itself, or was it just a thought that you had in your mind while you were supposedly possibly possessed by whatever was there?
Well, that's the thing about it. I don't remember all of it. The only reason I know the story is because I've listened to the audio recordings. I can't say that I felt any emotions or anything or nothing. Like I said, all I remember is being upstairs and then being outside in the rain. But in the recordings, you can hear me talking, and my voice has changed a little bit.
Okay, I see.
For lack of a better comparison, my voice kind of took on characteristics of a young girl, a high pitch, just the tone, the cadence, and everything. And
okay. So basically, you came up the story based on what evidence you felt like you did to kind of put two and two together and believe that this may have been what it was. Okay, that's all I was asking.
Yeah, because
we can move on.
At one point, you, I said, "Help me get out," and then when we got to the second floor, where they sit there and said that I picked Wayne up and set him in the doorway going into the second floor and said, "You stay here, keep the bad people away." We kind of come up with the idea that maybe she had been trapped had been held there and actually saw me as, like I said, as a way to get out.
Yeah, I get it. I was just curious because, you know, I mean, some people say that they can remember certain things whenever they're in a so-called paranormal trance or feel like they've been possessed by something. They can remember certain thoughts that may have been going through their mind at the time that helped them understand why that happened. So that's the reason why I was asking the question.
Well, see, I had another experience. We were in Mansfield, Arkansas, at an old theater, and I had a similar situation. But the thing about it, in that one, I know everything that happened. I know everything that went on, every word that came out of my mouth. But I didn't have control. I mean,
that it's so strange. I cannot imagine going through that. I mean, I've not experienced that. I've heard of people who've experienced it, like yourself. I've never experienced it. Part of me wishes I could, to be honest with you, but I've never experienced anything like that.
It, when you have it, that happens where you know what's going on, but you don't have control. It's kind of interesting. It's scary, but it's interesting. But when you have situations like with the spirit of the little girl, where you don't know what's going on, you have no recollection or anything. All you know is you're one spot, and then 45 minutes later, you're somewhere else. But to you, it seems like it's just a blink of an eye. That really gets scary. And the bad thing about it, that's a big blank spot that you have. You know, so that's why I'm glad that they kept the audio recorders going. And for any listeners out there, if you're ever, or if you do investigations and you're ever on an investigation and somebody in your team has something like this happen, do not, if you've got cameras going, if you've got audio recorders going, do not turn them off. I mean, them going, that way you've got record of what's going on, because if it wasn't for them having kept our audio recorders going, I would still be sitting here tearing myself up trying to remember what happened. The thing about it, that's something, or the actual memories is something I will never have of it, because it wasn't me, or I wasn't there enough to be able to create the memory of it, if you understand what I'm saying.
It is scary. I mean, it's a scary thought. I mean, you've lived it. You know, I don't doubt that you've experienced it. I mean, I trust you. And that's what scares me, is because I trust you. And I know that you're not going to make something up just for, you know, the sake of doing so. And that scares me, because it means it's really happened. And with that being said, thinking that it could happen to me or anybody else, it's very frightening, because there's no telling what, you know, if one spirit can do that, then another is figuring out how to do it too. Depends on what spirit tries to do it to you, or does do it to you. Depends on what the outcome is going to be, right? I mean, what if it was something really
right
bad? It took over to you and you did something bad to someone else? That's scary. You couldn't prove that in court. You just go to prison the rest of your life. That's all there is to it. You know?
Right.
You're not going to convince a judge or a jury as well.
And, you know, the thing about it, if you are out there with somebody and something like that happens, if you don't have something that is recording the situation, whether it's video camera, audio recorder, cell phone, whatever, then you've got to rely on word of mouth from the other people. And the bad thing about that, they can tell you whatever they want to tell you.
That's right. So that's the reason why it's so important to get those recorders going if you're paranormal investigators
right
out there. Something like that. Just common sense. But anyway, interesting story. Once again, that incident happened in downtown Van Buren, an old historic downtown Van Buren. Yeah, we originally started the show today to talk about some haunted places in Arkansas and Texas. However,
we
started with basically the story of
36 minutes left of the show, guys.
Because it's been some interesting stuff that we've talked about, and it's all been about mainly Van Buren and headquarters, but it's a very it's not very well known, the particular place that we've been talking about. And I think it needs to be done in our little area of the world here when it comes to paranormal. But, you know, one of the things that Wayne and I were talking about yesterday was how this particular area, unfortunately, is about 20 years in the past when it comes to being open about paranormal activity, because it's still kind of a tongue-in-cheek subject in this part of the country.
Well, a big part that plays into that, we are in the middle of, I don't know if they still call it this or not, but 20, 30 years ago, there was a strip of the country right through here that we're in the middle of, known as the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah. No, we're definitely still in it.
And
we're the epitome,
you know,
of it in this part of the
country. We're in that, and not saying anything.
No, that it's a bad thing, just that there's a lot of people who have, there's a lot of more fundamental Christian beliefs in this part of the country.
Right.
And with that comes paranormal aspect of things being something that is, in the opinion of many fundamental Christian beliefs, to be something you're not supposed to mess with or you're not supposed to believe in. They believe in one or two things, demons or angels. And if there's anything in between, then the Bible's completely wrong. And that's just not the case.
Right.
It's just not the case. There's a lot we don't know about death, the time of death. We know what parts of the Bible say about death and where we go and what happens, but it doesn't necessarily go into great detail. And there's a reason for that, because we're supposed to have faith. You know, our faith is supposed to be built on death and what happens afterward. But for people to say, well, the Bible says this, so that's just that, you need to open your mind more because there's definitely stuff going on. And I'm a Christian and I can say this. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've had things that make me scratch my head, which make me believe it's not just demons. It's not just angels. There's something going on here that needs to be researched. There's something more. Am I supposed to know what it is? I don't know.
Right.
That's the question. Am I supposed to be knowing what it is? I don't know. Am I wrong for going out and finding the answer? Does that mean I have lack of faith? I don't know. But I know I don't feel bad about it. So
and,
I'm
you
going
know,
with my gut,
thing,
and I do have to help you.
Well, you know, the thing about it, a big thing with paranormal is... Do what, Wayne?
I'm going to jump in real quick. Now, I don't know if you can hear. You hear static in the background on this thing?
Yes, from time to time.
Okay. Ever since we were talking about this down here, I'm rocking two spirit boxes right now. Two of them going at the same time. And I've heard Dave mention and Richard mention, but I've got it on a recording, so...
That what I was going to say, you know, a big thing with the paranormal is the unknown, you know, and one thing that is the biggest problem with people is the fear of the unknown. And everybody is so scared of the unknown, they don't want to go after it and try to make it known.
Right. And I don't know why. I think that's what separates people like you and I and Wayne from the rest of the people. I mean, we're those people who want to find those answers. It's not because we have to have those answers in order to live. It's because it's a true desire and a passion. Excuse me.
Well,
would it be unnatural or not? I don't know, but
it comes down to three words. Okay. You know, you said for people like us, it's not that we have to know in order to live. It's just we've got that curiosity and we want to know. Well,
right.
For the biggest majority of the non-believers, it comes down to three words. And I use this in the politest sense of the term or the quote. I don't mean it as an insult to anybody in any way, but those three words is ignorance is bliss. They feel that as long as they're, quote, ignorant or unknowing of what could be out there, that it doesn't exist, and they will be able to live their life happily.
You know, I've often, it's interesting you bring that up because I've often wondered what it would be like for someone who was an atheist, so to speak, to go on some of the investigations that we've gone on and experience some of the things that we've experienced and gather the evidence that some of us have gathered. What would their opinion be? What would their reaction be? That's a question that's gone through my mind sometimes.
I've wondered the same thing. You know, I mean, you get people that, like you, they don't believe, but they want to believe.
That's a really good way to put it, Richard.
Then you get people that like Wayne, myself, my wife Gina, and other members of the group, we believe, you know. And then you've got people that just don't want to believe. They've been told their whole life that it doesn't exist, it's fake, there's no way it can exist, da-da-da-da-da. As long as you don't believe in it, it ain't going to be there. And so that's kind of where the ignorance is bliss. As long as they don't believe in it and know about it, they're ignorant to it, they're happy. But there's no way you're going to ever change their mind.
Here's what's fascinating about a lot of atheists. You'll ask them that question. They'll look at you and they'll go, here's what I believe, buddy. I believe science. That's what I believe. Well, from a paranormal investigator's point of view, who's skeptical, who's gone out and used science, and the science proves there's something going on. I mean, it's funny because you think about somebody saying that to you and you're like, well, believe it or not, pal, I've used the science and the science says otherwise.
Right.
And that, I think that's just funny. That's a crazy thing. It took the science to make me believe in there's something more going on besides demons and angels.
Well, see, that's like one place that I tried to get into one time to do an investigation. They told me, they said, yeah, you can come in, but you got to fill these papers out. And they handed me damn near the small phone book of forms and stuff that I had to fill out. And in it, in order for me to be able to go in there, I had to tell them what kind of equipment I was going to have and how I was going to scientifically prove whether something was there or not. You know, and scientifically, there's really no way to, or at the
no,
moment, there's
not,
really
because
no way to prove yes
right.
or no.
But there's a reason for that. There's an answer for that. The reason is because we're using scientific equipment. However, the scientific equipment we're using is coming up with results that is not scientific.
Right.
So it
right.
makes no sense to anybody. So
right.
we're all sitting there scratching our head like, "What? Why the hell did that just happen? You know, it's not supposed to do that.
Yep.
I'm not supposed to hear that. You know, that isn't supposed to happen when we use this. So you can't say it was scientific because the scientific instrument is for some reason doing something it's not supposed to be made to do.
And see that,
it's crazy.
There's a bunch of stuff that we use that isn't scientific equipment. You know, like one thing I've been seeing a lot of people using here lately are these little clear plastic balls that have got flashing lights in them. You go to the pet store and buy them. They're cat toys. When they get moved, the lights start blinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a scientific
Congratulations,
tool.
It's a new paranormal instrument. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a scientific tool. But yet you take that, set it on a floor, there is absolutely no way that it's going to sit there and start blinking because you're on a concrete floor and, you know, stomping around it doesn't set it off. Nobody's within 10 feet of it, and all of a sudden that thing starts flashing. If it's not going to start flashing unless it is bumped, moved, or whatever, and nobody's near it, and it starts flashing, what set it off? How are you going to scientifically prove what set it off?
So here we go. We got about 20 minutes. We got about 20 minutes left of the show. What we've discussed so far today is sort of like what we started to talk about, some of the most haunted places in Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. And who had the Arkansas, by the way? Was it you, Wayne?
I don't know. Nobody told me what the show was about until I got on here.
is Wayne there? Wayne, you still here?
Yeah. I'm still here. I'm listening to EVPs.
Was it you that was assigned to Arkansas?
I was going to do Arkansas, you was going to do Texas, and Richard was going to do Oklahoma.
Okay. Well, basically what we've done is we started with Arkansas. So, and this was the first place. So I guess we're going to make today's show a series, right?
Hey, that's great because that gives me enough time to research mine.
Right.
Because like I said, I didn't, when Wayne got a hold of me and says, hey, man, show. Get on here. I didn't know we were having a show tonight. I didn't know what the topic was going to be. It's like, oh.
Well, here's a cool thing. Of course, many of the people who may be watching the show or listening to the show, I'm sorry, may not know this, but me and Richard are actually going to be going with my paranormal company not this next week, the week after, and we're going to be making a pilot for a documentary. It may or may not get picked up. Anyway, it's a lot of work, but we're going to be investigating some pretty well-known locations, one being the Goatman's Bridge, the other being the Haunted Hill House, and the other one being a new location in Texas near Mineral Wells called Fort Walters. So the reason why I'm telling you this, not to toot my own horn, but to say when it comes to our opportunity to talk about Texas and the hauntings in Texas, me and Richard both will have some knowledge of those three places, and maybe we can talk about that. And
you know,
we got anything there.
You know, Fort Walters, I don't know anything about it. I had never heard of it until you mentioned it to us here or on the phone here about a week or so ago. Haunted Hill House.
Basically, the information I've got about Fort Walters is that it used to be Indian territory, taken over by the government, became a military base, which in turn at one point became a place where they held POW war, German prisoners of war.
So, oh, okay.
We'll find out. Got a couple of buildings to investigate out there. They say there's a lot of activity.
Haunted Hill House. I've done a little bit of research on that. I'm kind of excited about that one. But the main one I'm excited about going to is Goatman's Bridge. I first heard about Goatman's Bridge a couple years ago watching a YouTube video, and ever since I saw that video, I've wanted to go there. This trip is going to help me knock something off of my bucket list.
Well, good. Good. I'm excited about that. We're all excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But, hopefully we'll catch something. Hopefully we will. And I know a lot of people have gone out there and haven't caught anything. But some people have. And, you know, hopefully we'll get lucky that way.
Yep.
And we'll catch some stuff.
Well, like I said earlier, I told the reporter from Channel 4029, you can't go into an investigation expecting to find something. You go in with the frame of mind, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, oh well, there's next time.
Right. And that's kind of the pressure that we're under.
I'm going to jump in here, guys. I'm going to tell you one thing. You know, you asked me what we're going to say. I was listening to an EVP.
Yeah.
While you were doing this. All right. Now, I told you a while ago, I was using SB7 boxes. I had two of them rocking.
Yes.
I got a name. And I said, I heard your name, Dave, and I heard Richard's name. All right.
Yeah.
I've uploaded this EVP on the radio here, and I want to let y'all hear it.
Okay.
You tell me what it sounds like. You hear it? Both of them.
Yeah, I heard it. Richard.
I heard David, too.
Play it again.
There.
That is cool.
David,
right there. Did you hear it? Is your name David?
Yep. Yeah. And you know, we what's cool about that though is that both of those happened over two sweeps. Did you catch that too?
Yeah.
You know, your sweep rate was like that, right? And it said Rick over two sweeps, and it said David over two sweeps. So I mean, that adds to the credibility of the spirit box response as well. The more sweeps you come over and the more sweeps you have, the more sweeps the answer you get goes over, the more incredible it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
No.
I thought I was hearing something in the background. I didn't know what it was.
Well, since we were talking about what was going on next door, and I keep hearing the daggum telephone ring over there, which there's no telephone over there, I thought I better start cranking stuff up and actually see or if I could hear anything over there or while we were talking or where y'all was talking about it. So, and...
I had thought about coming over there for a little bit this afternoon, but not knowing how or the condition of the bridge since the weather we had come through, I decided to stay home where it was nice and safe and warm and cozy. I had heard yesterday evening, they were having a lot of problems.
Well, I can safely tell you.
On both bridges.
I can safely tell you, Richard, I was just over there by your house probably 30 minutes before the show started. Yeah, nothing on the roads. Not a thing on the roads.
Cool. But.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got 15 minutes left of the show.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we
hear
you.
Okay. My earbuds just died. So if I sound different, it's because you're on speakerphone on my phone.
Uh-huh. Well, you sound clearer, put it that way.
Well, maybe next time I'll just use that.
We can hear you fine.
Hear you loud and clear, and we hear everything you're saying. It's not.
Well, it's because my earbuds were going dead, I guess. That's the reason why. I was losing my Bluetooth ability on them. Anyway.
But. Technology, can't live with it, can't live without it.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, technology is always evolving. I'm wondering if one day, as paranormal investigators will look back on some of the equipment that we use and laugh about it. You ever wondered that?
Right.
Like if one day, I've seen some of these old episodes of Ghost Hunters where they're just now starting to use the K2 meter, but you'll see somebody right next to it with a phone on and they're getting hits. And you're like, man, they didn't know back then.
Right.
Actually making that happen.
Well,
you know,
well, just stop and think here, probably 20, 30 years from now, we'll go to a paranormal museum. And they'll have some of the old school equipment in there, and they're going to have a K2 up there sitting there. People are going to be going, what was that used for? And then we'll be sitting there going, yep, right. I remember yep. that. And they hear us
seriously?
Say, we remember that. We used one. They're going to look at us like, man, you're old.
I know. Oh,
but
yeah, we may, but you know, by then we can say we were some of the pioneers of the paranormal community.
Right. I mean, it just amazes me with all of the neat new gadgets they've got now. And oh, trust me, I would love to have some. There's one or a new device out that I saw recently. It's called a PMB, a paranormal music box.
Yes, talking about the little thing that makes the looks like a little piano.
Well, you can get them in all different shapes and stuff, but it's got a motion sensor on the front of it, and whenever
right.
it's tripped, it's got a little music box, like the old wind-up music boxes. It's got one of those on it that it plays, and as long as something is in front of it, moving, triggering it, it'll sit there and just keep playing, keep playing, keep playing, keep playing.
You know those things you can actually be pretty cheap, right? You can buy them on eBay. They're actually pretty reasonable.
Depends on what you consider reasonable, because here a while back I was looking.
They're under a couple hundred.
Well.
yeah, we're. What are we talking about? What were we talking about?
The PMBs, the paranormal music boxes.
Yeah.
But I got to looking at them back the 1st of December because Gina was going to let me find something, a new piece of equipment to get for my birthday. And I would really like to have one. But the cheapest ones that I could find that to me seemed like they were coming from credible sources was like $400 or $500.
Really?
And I saw one that I would have really loved to have had. It was in a box the shape of a coffin, like what we've got there at HQ. They wanted $1,600 for it.
Bullshit. BS.
Yeah.
That's just stupid. That's just dumb. You can create one yourself for $1,600. I can take $1,600 and go to a buddy of mine who's got a couple little things, and he can make six of those.
I was going to say $1,600. I've got a guy, or I know a, or I've got a friend who's got a guy. I could probably take that $1,600 to him and say, hey, this is what I want. Can you make it? And I guarantee within a month, I would have one, you would have one, Wayne would have one, pretty much everybody on the team would have their own. But it would take him that long because he's the kind of guy that when he makes something, he wants to test it, make sure that there's no significant outside interference with it, you know, that it's not just going to sit there
give you
going
false positives.
Off. Right. I mean,
right.
I've
you
seen
know,
some
I
of
think...
this guy's work, and he makes some pretty daggum good stuff.
You know, Wayne and Richard, talking about this right now makes me think that this may be an actually a good idea for a show sometime, is for us to talk about paranormal equipment and what ones to avoid and what ones to get based on our experience using them. I think a lot of people who are in the paranormal community may listen to this show and maybe buying things that they're wasting their time on or spending money on apps that are just really just a joke. I think it'd be really helpful. And to talk about some of the paranormal equipment that we have and what their strengths are as well as their weaknesses. You know, like I remember when I started with y'all, I didn't know what all my weaknesses were with my K2 meter, but Wayne opened my eyes to them. And I was so thankful for that, you know.
Well, see, I've got a couple of friends out around North Carolina and Kentucky that are wanting to get their own group started up because they don't have anything like this in their area. And they got a hold of me here a while back, was telling me they're getting ready to order this, order that, and everything. God, they had probably $5,000 worth of stuff that they were getting ready to order. And I told them, I said, this is good, this is good, that, stay the hell away from it, don't buy this, don't buy that, get this, get that, you know.
The big thing that I've seen is keep it simple, stupid. I think that's about the best way to tell people. Because some of the simplest equipment is the stuff that's the most useful.
Yep.
Digital recorders for that. K2 meters, EMF sensors, cameras.
Like it's a cat toys.
Cat toys, yes.
I mean, you can't get any more simple than a cat toy.
You know, we were talking, I think on New Year's Eve, we had a little investigation that we did, and me and one of the other members of the team were talking about the SLS, and we were discussing the downfalls of it that a lot of people don't know, and that's that the original SLS had so many false positives, but yet nobody was talking about it. You know, they were just continuing to make it sound as if it was like this amazing thing that mapped out ghosts. That mapped out ghosts, but the truth of the matter is a lot of times it was mapping out stairwell posts, you know?
Well,
and it would map out a lamp in a room that was sitting on top of a nightstand because it had the shape of a human.
But
and,
maybe,
you know, you had to through things.
Since you've mentioned SLS, I've got a story involving one of those. For another show. Yeah.
Okay.
Matter of fact, it happened right here in my house where I'm sitting right now.
That's pretty cool.
It'll blow your mind. I know it blew my mind sitting here with it actually happening.
Do you have an SLS? Is that what you're saying?
For people that don't know, an SLS originally got started out as an Xbox 360 Kinect.
Structured light.
I used to have one. And what they do, they have a infrared grid that it shoots out across your room, and then it maps out anything that it sees in the shape of a human, and it tracks it. That's how you would you'd use it to play a bunch of the games on there. And when you'd play the games, there would be a little screen, a little picture down in the bottom right corner of your screen, kind of like the old picture in a picture on your TVs. And it would actually show what it's seeing. Your background would be gray, and you might get different shades of gray. You might actually be able to see, like, the shape of your chair or whatever like that. But the main thing that pops up is when it picks up you standing there in front of it to play the game, you get the ever-popular wireframe. And
the stick figure.
And people were noticing that sometimes there would be something look like a person on there and there was nobody standing in front of it. So that's where the paranormal team started getting the idea of, let's see if we can connect this up to a computer and use it. And at that time, there were drivers that you could get for, I think it was like Windows XP at the time. You could get drivers connected up to a laptop and use it like that. You could see that infrared screen and any wireframes. Luckily, when Windows 7 came around, you could just plug it straight in because all the drivers and everything was already built into the system for it. But they started taking those out and set them up, and it's shoot them into a big room or down a hallway or whatever and watch for something to show up on screen that couldn't see with their eyes. And so that's where the SLS came from.
You know something? I just want to say, you explained that so eloquently, Richard. You really did. I mean, I want you to know, seriously, you nailed it. That is exactly the explanation of how it began, how it came, and how it is to be. Now, the only thing you didn't talk about was the new SLSs, because they stopped making Xbox, right? So creators are now taking this and they're creating the SLS feature, but with new, more capable drivers, which have gotten rid of a lot of the false positive problems they had with the original SLS.
They've got a higher level of scrutiny.
Yes, they have a higher level. That's beautiful. Wonderful way to put it. They have a higher level of scrutiny. So if you're one of those people out there looking for an SLS and you're just bound and determined to get an old one, don't do that. Get a new one, one that's more, got more in Richard's word, scrutiny, so that you don't run across, you know, thinking that a post in your room is a spirit walking around. So,
well, y'all heard in the background, we got 90 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I see it now.
we're going to have to catch this on another show.
Yeah, I was about to say, we've definitely opened a can of worms that we need to continue dumping out on another show.
Hey, I think it was a great show tonight. Learned a lot. It was pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to finding out more about haunted locations in Texas and in Oklahoma, as well as Arkansas, and also learning more about what kind of equipment we should and shouldn't buy as investigators, what's bull crap and what's not.
Yeah, so anyway, everybody, we are running low on show time, so I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Join us next time here on Tapping. Richard, Dave, great show, and we'll catch y'all later. This is Tapping, the Arkansas Paranormal Network.
See you, folks. Have a good one.
Giddy up.